You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji from WNYC and PRI, Public Radio International, in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Good morning. I'm Catherine Lanfer here at The Takeaway, in for both Adora Udoji and John Hockenberry. Hey, a new report shows that when the economy tanks, the sales of breakfast foods go up. Now, as you're starting your day, we want to know, what are you having for breakfast? What does it say about how you're doing economically? Maybe you're having breakfast for dinner. What does your breakfast look like in lean times? What does it look like when times are good? Hey, when the going gets tough. The Tough Order Breakfast. We'd like to hear from you at 877-8-MY-TAKE, or go ahead, send us an email, mytake@thetakeaway.org. Now, as you know, the jobs on Wall Street started shrinking actually more than a year ago. Some 25,000 jobs were already gone before the events of this week kicked in. Now, if you're at the top of the heap on Wall Street, you're probably going to be okay. But what if you're one of the thousands expected to hit the bricks? Well, Marcy Albaher runs the New York Times blog Shifting Careers, and she's been working the phones this week, talking to Wall Street veterans in an effort to get the best advice out there for the newly unemployed and those who've been looking for a job for a while. Hey, Marcy.
Hey, Catherine.
Now, let's start with the events of this week. What does it look like for the thousands of financial workers who find themselves now looking for a job?
Well, first, I was making some facial expressions at you because that's kind of how I feel. It doesn't look good. I don't think we can sugarcoat this right now because in the near term, it's pretty bleak.
Now, you started working the phones to cull advice. What did you hear?
I think what I heard, the single most important thing that I heard is that for all industry veterans, people have been watching or have experienced other kind of down cycles before, that this is the worst anybody's seen probably in their lifetime or at least in their memory.
Now, if we are talking about a job market, as I said, that's really was already shrinking before this happened. So what pressure does that put on people to reinvent themselves?
It puts lots of pressure, not only because the job market was already tight, but because the industry that they're going to reenter when they get new jobs is going to look dramatically different than what they left.
Give me an example.
Consolidation. You know, there will be fewer investment banks than there used to be with mergers and acquisitions like we've seen with Bank of America and Merrill. So when there are two entities come together, obviously there's duplication. So people are going to have to figure out how they fit in to the way things are shaking out.
You know, I have to say, you deal all the time with experts on how to get a job, how to shift your career, and they're usually really perky people. So you must have heard some bright notes.
Oh, yeah,
week.
Yeah. I've heard some bright notes, and I'm usually a pretty perky person, even at 6 a.m. Okay, so here are some of the bright spots. And I think this is all about what you can apply in your own life. You know, the proverbial rainy day has arrived, okay? So if you have some kind of cushion or if you've been prudent, this is the time to say it's okay to access that. And some of the ways people are accessing that is get some new education, retrain, get skills. Don't ever think this is actually a really good time to invest in your career if you know there's something you need that would help you. For those who are flexible, I'm hearing about lots of opportunities outside New York, and I think that's something that the banking people really need to be thinking about. There are opportunities in other places out in the U.S., in places like Charlotte, which is a banking hub, Delaware, home to, you know, the corporate home to many companies, and really overseas. And people say that in India and Dubai and other places in the Far East and in parts of Europe, I'm not saying necessarily boom times, but certainly much better than what's happening here.
Now, how does this crisis go beyond New York?
Well, it goes beyond New York in some interesting ways. I mean, I was talking to people in the venture financing world and in the small business community who say, you know, we have just seen a complete restriction in the capital markets. So small businesses and mid-sized businesses looking for funding have just had their options shrunk. And the same thing goes for anybody wanting to get insurance right now. AIG has really changed that landscape. So outside New York, the ripple effects are far and wide. I don't think we're seeing anywhere near the local. Here we have a local kind of a lot of local effects where you're seeing proximity businesses affected, retail businesses, restaurants, services that helped the banking industry, like limo companies or restaurants and travel agents. I don't think we're going to see that those kinds of businesses affected in a big way outside New York.
You know, you just mentioned, you know, a tertiary business like, you know, a limo company. Talk about some of the responses that you've been getting to your blog post when you have addressed what people in the financial sector can do if they found that they've lost a job.
Right. I mean, there's always some cheerleading and some, you know, look at the bright things that you have in your life. This is a time to value family and friends. And then I have to say there was quite a lot of unexpected, to me at least, resentment and cynicism about what's happening.
Schadenfreude, perhaps?
Exactly. Let me read you a couple of real brief ones from a reader named Philip. There was also some enthusiasm about the foreign opportunities. Here's someone who wrote from Dubai. I completely agree. I was in New York working for 3 years following college. I saw a downturn and now find myself in Dubai. It's like shooting fish in a barrel out here. Come and get it while you still can. But some of the reveling and angry comments, here's one. I have little sympathy for those who made their money in finance. Let them sell off their houses and assets and live like the rest of us. So I saw a lot of that kind of comment.
I also just, we have such a high unemployment rate, 6.1%, the highest in 5 years. What sort of advice in general do you give for people? Because if they're already unemployed and they're hearing this news, you've got to think it's going to be even tougher.
Yeah, I mean, the advice I'm giving to everyone these days and I'm hearing for everyone is really the same. Look at your own industry and look at how it's changing. I mean, right here we're sitting in the media. Our business is changing, right? Our industry is going more online, going more interactive, right? How much time do you spend talking to the listeners out here and asking them to communicate with you? So in the banking industry, what parts of the business are being changed by technology, going online? The business of trading is totally changing. It's become an online algorithm-based model that a lot of people are finding new opportunities in. Staying in touch with your network, key. This is a time where people are reluctant to pick up the phone, and the first thing you need to do is pick up the phone and talk to your contacts. But you need to just get outside of your immediate contacts and get to what are called the weak ties, because that's where most people find jobs. So you need to be networking with the contacts of your friends, the contacts of your family.
Well, you know, speaking of networking, I want you to just hang on and ride along with us for the rest of the hour here. All right, that's Marcy Alberher. She writes the Shifting Careers blog for the New York Times. And now we're going to turn to Femi Oke and network some news.
Thanks, Catherine. It is 29 minutes past the hour.